good to be back. I was in Spokane last weekend at Spokane Friends Meeting, and I would invite you to pray for Spokane. They are in many ways akin to us. And I got word this week, they sent me a message and said, we want to know how you do administry, because that sounds like that would work for us. So I sent them information on how to do administry, which is a I've shared this with many other churches, but this is the first one that sounded like they were actually going to do it. So we have elders and trustees, but we meet together as one community, as one meeting, and do our work together. And most of us know that. But that's what administry is. We kind of made it up. We made up a name, and it really works well. And they said, wait a minute, we're spending a lot of energy trying to get people to serve on all these committees, and thought it would be well. So that they have not yet made a decision about Northwest Yearly Meeting or Sierra Cascades and what they're doing, and they're facing that, although they have some inklings of what will happen, but they need to work through the process, and so wanted to share about that. So it was just a really good time to be there and to renew old friendships and remake some new friendships, and I'm glad that I was able to go. But I just would ask that we pray for them and hold them in God's light as they work through all of these decisions. They're not a very large congregation. In fact, I think we're a little bit larger than they are. And so sometimes I think they feel kind of puny, and they don't have a pastor right now. They're in transition between, and feeling like they don't have enough money. So my whole message was, you are enough. That's, as you know, one of my heart messages, that I just couldn't be there and not share that with them. And so I did, and they were encouraged by that. But I will continue. They have a new place in my heart for prayer. It's the first time I've been back in 17 and a half years, and so it was good to go back and connect with them. While I was gone, Jan did an excellent job of presenting about the Gospel of John and doing an introduction to John and all about what was happening culturally and what was going on about the background, and then the early getting this started in the Gospel of John. And she did a good job, with except for just like one mistake. No, not really a mistake. She made a pretty important deal that she says logos, and I would say it right, logos. And I heard that, and I thought, but I say logos. You know what I figured out? When I am reading in English, I say logos. That's the common English way to say that word, is logos. When I got out the Greek and read it in Greek, I read it logos. But I will probably say logos as much as anything. And I don't think there's everybody, when you read, I think it's kind of interchangeable. We know what we mean, and don't worry about it. So but I had to tease you a bit. That message is on the website. And if you didn't hear it, I would encourage you to go to the church website and scroll down, find messages, and listen to it. And if you did listen to it, we're here last Sunday, I still invite you to go to the website and scroll down and listen to it. It's a pretty good message, and it gives a lot of foundational information. I've listened to it about 3 or 4 times now. And just trying to grapple with what all was there. And so I think it's important to get it. And there may be times when we want to go back and pick up, because there's some cultural background and some of those kinds of things that are helpful. I'm going to read from John 14, beginning with verse 9, and read through verse 18. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of a man, but of God. And the Logos became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. So this is a pretty amazing passage, because this Logos, or Logos, is the power of God, the mind of God, this incredible wholeness of God, comes to absolutely everyone. The power of God that creates and the mind of God that holds everything together has come. And we read then in John 1:9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. So I really noticed that it was interesting that it doesn't say that it's available, or that you can find it if you go to a certain place, to the temple, or to visit a certain person, or to the website. And it's interesting that it doesn't say that you can find it if you really want it, if you go look for it hard enough. It just says that it enlightens everyone, and that this light gives light to all people. The truth is that we live in a world of divisions. They're all around us, both at a distance and close up. And for the Jews, they saw themselves as God's people in contrast to the Gentiles. And they were the inside group that belonged. They were the real God people. But they didn't just see the Gentiles as outsiders. They hated the Gentiles. And so there was real enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. For the Greek world, they never dreamed that this knowledge of God was for everyone, that this mind of God was accessible to all people, and that it was apprehendable to everyone. For the Roman world, they were really aware of the divisions and looked down on the barbarians and lesser breeds that didn't have the law, that didn't follow the appropriate behavior or do the right things. But to all of these groups, John says, the light has come to everyone, absolutely everyone. The light isn't just for you, but for them too. It's for all people, everywhere. For the early Quakers in the mid-1600s, this was amazing news. Because you see, the common belief at the time was that only the chosen were saved. There was a strong commitment to predestination among the church at that time, and it meant that God chose some people and not others. So, and kind of an issue was, am I in or out? Did I get chosen or not get chosen? Am I going to make it or not going to make it? And this passage says that light comes to everyone. Robert Barclay, who was a Quaker theologian that lived in the mid-1600s, said that John 1:9 is the Quaker text, and really named it as a way to say that God comes to everyone. In fact, Quakers owned this concept so much that they were often called children of the light. And really is kind of infused throughout Quaker writing about this light that is present and lives with us and shines into our lives all the time. Early friends believed that if they waited in the light and walked in the light, they would be given power to overcome sin and live in the presence of God. And if they followed the light of Christ, they would be empowered to live up to the measure of light that was given to them. They would have what they needed to be able to follow God and to be faithful people living as God called them to live. And they would be empowered to do that which seemed impossible, that they could be faithful and they would be enough. Quakers also believed that this light would come directly to everyone. It didn't need a priest or a church or liturgy or some kind of external mechanism to get them all right to be good enough to be in God. That everyone could know God directly and live in the power of Logos and light present within them. That everyone could know God directly. That's pretty amazing. And you know, in 2018, that's still amazing news. God comes all the way to us. All of us. All the way to us. Doesn't matter what we do or say. We don't have to get it right. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have our best behavior on. God comes all the way to us. And God stays with us and never leaves, no matter what we do. No matter if we don't even recognize that God is present. Are you sure God's? No, I don't think God's around me. God comes all the way and stays with us, whether we recognize God's presence or not. There's no barriers or things to do or say before the light comes. God comes all the way to us, to everyone, everywhere, all the time. End of sentence. God comes all the way to us. Even when we don't recognize it as God, the light still comes to us. And often we don't live by the light, and we often live by this light even when we don't recognize the source of the light. The light shines and it informs our lives in a way that is good, and yet we may not even recognize where that light is coming from, because the light comes to everyone. On occasion, like the author of John, I am privileged to name this light for others, to say to them, this thing that you don't understand, this thing that you're wondering about, this thought that you've had that you don't know where it comes from, this feeling or sense that you have questioned, that is God. And they're sometimes like, are you sure? But to be able to say yes, and when people listen deep within, even people that don't profess to know God, when they listen deep within, they often find something that is really true and that really does speak of God, bears the truth. It is the same God that I know. Reminds me of Peter going to see Cornelius and saying, well, I didn't know that God could. He did this in exact words. I'm paraphrasing. Got it? Well, I didn't know that God could talk to Gentiles. I mean, Gentiles are them. But, you know, I had this dream and God said, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And the Spirit of God is here. How can I deny that you know God? And to be able to name that for other people is powerful. The light is present to everyone all the time, and that is incredibly good news. True, we don't always heed the light, but it doesn't mean the light is not always present. It's pure gift that we can step into the light and engage with it anytime. But it's also true that we can walk away from it. But you know, when we walk away, the light follows us. It doesn't say, oh, well, guess you don't want to hear from me anymore. But it follows us. It pursues us. But in my experience, the light is never pushy and never demands that we notice. It never forces me to say yes to the light. It's simply there waiting, staying close, following me. And all the while, bringing light into my space. For some of us, it's been a dramatic stepping into the light. For others of us, it's been a oozing into the light. gradually spending more and more time there, gradually recognizing that Christ is present and that the light of Christ is with me and that I am listening to it and following it. There's not a right way or a wrong way. It doesn't have to be a dramatic Paul on the road to Damascus struck by the light. It can be a slow recognizing that the light is present and going, oh. In fact, I have one friend that says, I can't tell you when I moved from unbelief to belief. I just know that I got there. Mark Openlander taught us this concept of minding the light. That's a theater concept that he talked about one time, and how the actor must pay attention to the light and mind the light so that you stay in the light. And that you need to have the light on your face, not just on your feet. So it's not kind of being sure that you walk in the light, but that the light shines where you are and that you can even kind of feel the light. And as they move around the stage, they have to be aware of where the light is so that they stay in the light, so that the audience can see you. But the truth is, we need to mind the light in our own lives and become increasingly aware of staying in the light. When we find ourselves out of the light, which we sometimes will, find ourselves that we have stepped out of the light. And we all know those times in our lives when it's like, how did I get here? All we have to do is step back into the light. That we don't have to beat ourselves up for stepping out of the light, for getting off track. We simply move back into the light and allow the light to shine. The light is present. The light did not go away. And we can walk back into it at any time because Christ is always present with us. And this logos, this light, this power of God has come all the way to us. As we live in the light, we become children of God. Again, this is an extraordinary concept. We enter into intimacy with this logos and light, the power of God and the mind of God. So not only is Greek and Hebrew understanding of logos pointing to the same God, and Jesus is that logos made flesh and dwelling among us, but you and I can be children of this logos, living intimately in union with logos. And that is amazing. This unknowable logos that's out there that the Greeks kind of talked about, and that we can know intimately. The Creator, that we can know intimately, that everything that holds all of life together, we can know intimately, and we are called children of God. That's incredibly amazing as we step into this union with God, union with the light, with letting Jesus come and be with us and transform us and change us. Because I dare say, you live in that light for a little while and you are not the same. There is an amazing transformation that God does within us that works from the inside out and changes us in ways that are amazing. I'm going to close by reading a quote from Thomas Kelly from a book, Testament of Devotion, that was published in 1941. He is a Quaker author. Deep within us all, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we may continuously return. Eternity is at our hearts, pressing upon our time-torn lives, warming us with imitations of an astounding destiny, calling us home unto itself. Yielding to these persuasions, gladly committing ourselves in body and soul, utterly and completely, to the light within, which is the beginning of true life. It is a dynamic center, a creative life that presses to birth within us. It is a light within that illumines the face of God and casts new shadows and new glories upon the face of people. It is a seed stirring to life if we do not choke it. It is the Shekinah of the soul, the presence in the midst. Here is the slumbering Christ, stirring to be awakened, to become the soul we clothe in earthly form and action. And He is within us all. Let us wait in open worship and listen to God who is speaking to us. And invite God to speak directly to our spirits. I invite you to share that with others as well. And Mark will bring you the microphone. Let us listen.